fighting the snow the last couple of days, but I really love the Lord. And he heard my cry. I just thank God. At this time, we're going to dismiss the children as we stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the book of Luke, chapter 10, I believe it's verse 36, as the children are dismissing. Amen. We have so much tonight to be thankful for. In spite of everything that's happening around to us and before us, we still have a lot to thank God for tonight.
Amen.
I'm going to read from, 38, verses 38 through 42 of Luke chapter 10. And then we'll do deal for our subject. But tonight we're going to talk back. We're going to have a talk back service.
All right.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to ask Deacon Landor if he can get his mic ready. We're going to talk back for a few minutes before we start. Amen. If we all have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
And for those that do not have it, it is on the screen. Let us start. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Can we read that again? But one thing is needful. Amen. One thing. Not a whole lot of things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, amen, which shall not be taken away from her. Heavenly Father, we thank you on this evening. Lord, we thank you for your abundant mercy. Lord, we thank you for your tender love, oh God, your kindness. Lord, we thank you for being our Savior, being our personal God. Lord, tonight we thank you, Lord, that if it had not been for you on our side, Lord, if you had not been our sustainer, Lord, if you had not kept us in our right mind, and the only right mind is a saved mind, tonight we don't know where we would be. Now, Lord, we ask you tonight to speak to the church. Lord, not the man of God speak, but you speak. Lord, and then as you speak, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit would say unto the church. Lord God, for as we sang earlier, for above all else, tonight our hearts desire that we must be saved. Lord, whatever you have to do to us, Father God, just don't let us be lost for eternity. For above all else, we must be saved. Now, Lord, send thy word of anointing. Father God, send thy word of inspiration. Father God, anything that's contrary, Lord, anything that would hinder, we subject it now in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, let the word of God have free course. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Question tonight. Now, everybody probably won't participate, but what do you think is one of the main, you know, everybody has their own way of thinking. What, if you were to make an assessment, what would you think would be one of the main tools that the devil uses to hinder or frustrate saints in the church? Any volunteers? All right, Sister Patty.
Family.
Okay. Amen. No, Maggie.
Finances.
Anybody else? This is your personal thing. It's not right or wrong. Relationship. What else?
Illness.
Anybody else?
Doubt.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Fear. Exactly. Amen. I said, this is church. Tonight is talk back. All right. Amen. Everybody has to have some kind of a thought. Amen. One of the biggest reasons that a lot of times we come to church, we don't get the abundant blessing is because the Bible said we overcome by the word. Amen. Some of us don't like to speak out sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, we like to, I know, I was bashful and shy all my life. Amen. Matter of fact, when I first got saved, they tricked me into testifying. I got tricked into testifying. They used to say, why don't you testify? I said, I testify every Sunday. They said, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do. They said, well, we don't hear you testify. I said, well, I testify by heart. And the Bible said, God knows our thoughts. But I got tricked. Yes, you did. I got tricked into testifying. But you never know that. Amen. But you overcome by the words of your testimony. What you speak. Amen. The Bible said life and death in the power of the tongue. As with life and death, so also your deliverance comes in what you say. Amen. So we said a whole lot that all of that can be used with one word. Everything that everybody said is true. And what we're going to deal with tonight are distractions. Amen. Family, relationship, finances, the job, the house, the children are all distractions. Amen. So Jesus enters, verse 38, enters into Martha's house. Amen. And she received him, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet to hear his word. They were both in the house. Mm-hmm. Martha and Mary. That is tonight we're all in church. Mm-hmm. Amen. All in the house. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in the house. Mm-hmm. One mind and one accord. Now, there is God blesses unity. Amen. But there is no unity here because Mary sits at Jesus' feet. Amen. Verse 40 says, but Martha was, comfort me, she was distracted. What was the distraction? Hearing the word. Amen. So Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet. They were both where? In the house. Right. But one chose to just work, while the other chose to work but to hear the word of God first. Amen. It's not that she did not want to help, but Mary did not want to be comforted or distracted. Amen. Martha was comforted about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, try to calm her down. You know, sometimes people get a little excited. So he said, Martha, Martha. Amen. Sometimes we need God to call our name twice just to relax the situation. Martha, Martha, he said, thou art careful. In other words, you got a lot of anxiety. You got a lot of stuff happening right now. And not only does you have anxiety, but you are troubled. Amen. That's not what God expects from his church. About many things. But
one thing.
One thing. Amen. The two, that the chief tool that the devil uses against saints all over are distractions. What do distractions do? They cause us not to hear the word of God. In church, physically, out of church, spiritually. In church, physically, out of church, spiritually. Well, how can you say that? Martha and Mary both heard Jesus. But the difference is, Mary was sitting attentively at his feet. Martha heard him from afar off. That's dangerous when we're in the presence of God. Two people, both people, hear the word. But one of them could not literally hear the word because they were comfort or distracting. Amen. You know, you ever wonder why Jesus said, we all, how many know everybody has ears? Come on, everybody can participate in this. That's not a lot of church. That'll take a lot of effort. How many of you can hear me tonight?
Amen.
If you can hear me tonight, raise your hand.
Amen.
Then that means you got ears, right? All right, so we all got ears. Jesus is preaching, and he says, he that had that
ear.
Well, they all had ears. Amen? But he said, he that had that ear. There's a difference between your external or physical ear and the spiritual ear, which can hear the word of God. So Mary has a spiritual ear to hear from God. Martha has a natural ear, but she is not hearing from God. Well, why isn't Martha hearing from God? Because she is distracted. Well, how many things are needful?
One.
One of the things that Jesus says in Matthew, well, we're going to go over it a little later. I'm going to go there now. One of the biggest things that we do, we fail to realize that God is sovereign. And in God being sovereign, he knows what things you have before you ask. He knows. Amen. But the chief mechanism, the chief device that the devil is using to split churches, to split families, to split a whole lot of everything are distractions. Amen. Instead of choosing the
one thing.
Well, you say, well, how can we make this assessment? When it's time to come to church, or if you're in church, are you distracted? Amen. Are you here, but your mind is focusing on all of your troubles? Are you careful and troubled about many things where they were both where? In the house, both in church. But Martha could not receive from God, because she was full of anxiety and she was troubled. Amen? We must, when we come to church, we must have a readiness of mind to receive God's word. But the devil knows, as long as we receive God's word, amen, as long as we yield to God's word, we are a threat to what he's trying to do. So what he has to do in church, he doesn't wait till you get out of church. While you're in church, you're daydreaming spiritually. You're in church, but you cannot hear the word of God. He said the one thing that's needful, and Mary has chosen that part. Well, why is this one part needful? Because it will what? Never be taken away from you. The word of God is so important. Amen. That's why the psalmist said, one thing. Not a whole lot of things. Now, the one thing, when you're talking about a desire, one thing is important. It doesn't mean everything else is unimportant, but this takes the preeminence. God's word should take the preeminence above everything. Like I said, I love my mother, but when it came to God's word, it had to take the preeminence. I love my brothers and sisters, but when we get together, I must still live God's word first. It must be number one. Well, why would you cleave to the word of God? Because it will never be taken away. Everything else will and can be taken away. Jesus said, my word will endure forever. Tonight, many of us in the spiritual mindset that we're in because of distractions. Amen? So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Distractions are intended to hinder you from hearing God's word. Amen? You come to church, you have a ear. You're here physically, but is his word finding a lodging place in our heart? Your heart is the seat of your emotion. It's what makes you you. Amen. God knows that you're about to face a test. So the devil also knows that he's bringing a test. God knows the test, the trial the devil's going to bring your way. Amen. And the devil knows he's going to bring the test. So what the devil wants to do is make sure that you're not prepared for the test. So what does he do? He distracts you. And in distracting you, the word will not find a lodging place in our heart. So in the middle of the test, even though you heard the word, you didn't really hear it because it did not sink in. So when the test comes, you're overthrown, or you're defeated, or you're just simply frustrated. Well, is the fault of God? No. All of us hear the same word. Amen. But some of us, it does not find a lodging place in our heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, go to verse 2. I believe verse 2 or 3. Verse 3. Then this is Paul writing to the Corinthians church. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as serpent did what? As the serpent did what?
He
tricked Eve. Amen. He distracted Eve. God had given Adam and Eve a word. But the devil now is using distractions. What do distractions do? They cause you not to remember fully what God has said. You remember in part, but you do not remember fully. And because you do not assimilate it and receive it fully, then he's able to twist it in your mind. Amen. So it says, lest by any means as a serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the
simplicity
that is in Christ. Simplicity means pure, loyal devotion, and it means undivided or undistracted devotion to God. Simplicity is pure, loyal devotion and undivided devotion. Well, what is divided devotion? Distractions. Amen. When we are distracted, our devotion to God is not pure, it's not honest, and it's not sincere. Though we have the right intentions, amen. Most of the time, we've been governed more by the distraction than the Word of God. In the middle of your tests, in the middle of your trial, does the Word of God have the preeminence in the middle of the tests, in the middle of the trial? When you have to make a decision, do you make the decision based on the Word of God, or are you a reactionary? You know, in chemistry, in science, it either speeds up or slows down the reaction. Amen? It speeds up a reaction or it slows down a reaction. In other words, it's a reaction to the action. Unfortunately, in many of our lives, we are reactionaries. We react to what's going on around us, instead of reacting or staying solely in the Word of God. So when everything is going good, we are going good. But when the trials are too heavy, we are all messed up. Amen. Because the devil is using his subtlety, and the subtlety distracts us. Amen. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and then we go to Hebrews chapter 12. Distraction. Tonight, everything that happens to us can be summed up in one word, and that word would be distraction. Let's go to Luke 8, verse 14. Distractions. The devil knows that if you ever get to the place where God's word finds a larger place in your heart, he cannot distract us. The psalmist asked a question. He said, how shall a young man cleanse his way? How do we get clean before God? How do we clean our lives up? How do you do it? By doing what? Taking heed thereto according to thy word. In the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks to John on the Isle of Patmos. He speaks to the seven churches, church ages. Each church age and church period begins with this saying, let him that have that ear hear. That is the source of our strength. When we come to church, we cannot allow ourselves to be distracted. Amen. Listen, by worrying, who can change it? The scripture says, by worrying, you can add one cubit to his stature. We must stay in God. Verse 14 reads, and they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, can we say it, have heard?
Have heard.
So what did they hear? The word. They that fell among thorns. All of the seeds within the same field. Amen. And this is what we have to understand as a church. We're all now in the same field. And the sower that sowed the seeds said the sower was sowing the what? Word of God. So we're all in church. Some of the seed fell on good ground. Some of the seeds fell on stony ground. And then these seeds fell among thorns. We're not going to focus on the others for now. Well, what is the characteristic of falling among thorns? Amen? So that means you are in church, you're growing. How many know you're growing in church? Lord, I don't want to be in church and not grow. Amen. If I'm in church, I must grow because the path of the just is as a light. It grows. It shines what?
More
and more, which means it grows. So if I'm in church, I want to grow and continue to grow. It says, they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares or distractions. Distractions will choke the word of God. Amen. Say, well, I'm too strong for that. Yes, you might think that. But you got to remember, we're fighting a wise opponent. He's been destroyed. Can you imagine? He caused the first man and the first woman that were ever created to fall. And the Bible talks about Adam, his wisdom, and the mind that he had. He named every animal wise. But Adam was distracted. Eve, mother of the living. Amen. There would never be another first man and first woman. Never be another. But the first man and first woman failed God because of distractions. It doesn't mean that they can't recover, but why fail when we don't have to fail? When if we let the word of God find a larger place in our heart. Let the word of God drive you. Let the word of God motivate you. Let the word of God be your constant inspiration. Amen. But distractions. In church, but we're not here. Sitting in the pews, but our minds are with this, with that, or with the other. The devil said, I gotta keep pressure on. Because if I let up, they might get free. So it says, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and what?
Pleasures
of the future life.
This life.
You're being choked right where you are right now by distractions. Amen? Whatever the distraction. You don't like him. You don't like her. You don't like the way they said this. I'm going to go to this church. I'm going to go to that church. Listen, those are distractions. Hear God's word. Amen. We cannot be so self-centered and so selfish that everything has to be about us. Well, how can we make that claim? Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him stop being self-centered and selfish. Let him deny himself and follow me. Amen. How often should we do it? Lord, I do it today and I skip a couple of days. We're supposed to do it what? Every day. Self-centeredness, selfishness is a distraction. Amen. Let me finish this and we go to Luke chapter 12. Pleasures bring no fruit to
perfection.
The fruit is growing, but it's not maturing. Amen. Anybody ever plant some fruit trees? I planted fruit trees, and we used to plant all kind of stuff. But the tree keeps growing, but it never comes to perfection. You don't get no fruit on it. It's growing, but there's no fruit. Unfortunately, saints of God, a lot of us in church are growing, but we're not producing fruit. Verse 15 reads, but that on good ground are they which in an honest and what kind of honest and
good heart.
Amen. The simplicity of Christ is pure, honest, and undivided. That's what pure is. That's what a good heart is. That's what simplicity is. Pure and undivided. Tonight, we should judge ourselves. Amen. As I said a couple weeks ago, if this was time and end, if we were right now before God, with the excuses we've been using, would they wash with him? When the Bible said God knows us and he's acquainted with
all
of our ways. God knows every last one of us. He knows the excuses that we make up, and God said there's not an excuse, because I know you better than you know yourselves. So this is the judgment scene. Amen. It's all over. Time's no more. We've all been ushered into eternity. But we have to stand before the judge. And in standing before the judge, God is judging every last one of us. And we know the Bible says judgment begins where? God is judging us every day. God is trying to get us right when? Every day. So in God judging us today. Time is no more. We're all being ushered into eternity. Would that distraction, would that excuse, would it pass from God? We all know, amen, all of us are going through things and all of us have some difficulties and trials. But we're talking about now eternity. We're not talking about now. We're not talking about the temporal things of right now. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about hearing God and having and grasping the whole of God's word and to cleave. When you cleave to something, nobody can take it away from you. Amen. We're talking about cleaving to God's word. Well, why would I cleave to his word? Because that's the only thing that no one can take away from me. And unfortunately, many times we make up excuses for why we can't be in church and hear the word of God. We have legitimate reasons why we can't be here. God knows and you know. Not up to us to judge. The Bible says, do what? Judge who? Judge your brothers. Judge your sisters. Judge everybody else. Judge what? If you judge ourselves, we won't have the need to be judged by God. If we judge ourselves, then we don't need God to judge us. It's easy to, as Confucius said, to complain about the snow on our neighbor's roof. And you can't even get out your front door. You know, that's, can y'all loosen up something?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus. I gotta mix it up a little bit, but you know what? Loosen up and be for real with God. God sees every last one of us. When nobody else sees. The saint says, which in an honest and what kind of heart? What kind of honest? You have to be honest with yourself first. When we're not honest with ourselves, it's not simplicity. When it's not simplicity, that means we are divided in our attention. But an honest and a good heart, keep it, and as a result of keeping his word honest in our heart on good ground, it bringeth forth fruit to patience. You know what patience means? Enduring the tests. Amen. Not allowing that trial to take you off course. Amen. Patience is meaning I'm determined. I am set. I'm going to endure. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm not going to be distracted and be off course. Amen. Distractions. It's like driving cars today. This is, you know, it's not a wise thing to do. And thank God we don't do it in here. But how do you drive a car and text? Hello? Because when you drive a car and you text, you're being what? Distracted. So you don't know what's going on around you because your focus is on the wrong thing. That's what distractions are. A lot of us are driving our spiritual car, but we're texting and trying to figure out a whole lot of things, and we're just running into this and running into that and running into a whole lot of unnecessary things that God never intended because we are distracted. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter, before we go to Luke 12, go to Hebrews 12. Distractions. Tonight, what distraction is hindering your walk with God? I'm not going to go there, but Ezra chapter 4, when they went back from Babylon to rebuild the temple, and they received the edict and the favor of Cyrus to build the temple, when they were building the temple, their enemies wanted to be partakers in building of the temple. And they, when they went to Ezra and Zerubbabel and Jeshua, they said, you have no lot, no part with us. Amen. This is what the devil likes to do. He likes to try to get in like he's with us, but he's not really with us. So they were trying to get in like they were part of the building program, building up the church. Amen. And because he said, look, you have no part with us. Then the next option in Ezra 4, verse 5 said, so what they did, they hired counselors to frustrate their purposes. What the devil likes to do to the church is frustrate us. He can't stop us, but he can hinder us. Amen. That's why Paul tells the Thessalonian church, he said, I would have come. He said, but Satan hindered me. We have to watch those distractions. They won't stop us, but they hinder us. Hinder us means they cause you to lose your patience and you swerve out of the way. Verse 1 read, wherefore seeing we also encompass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and the witnesses of what? Those and faith, hall of fame. All of chapter 11 are our witnesses. Everything that you experience, I guarantee you can find it in chapter 11. Amen. He said, since we have all of these witnesses, all of these examples of enduring hardship, he said, let us lay aside every distraction. Amen. Let us lay aside every distraction. Well, what do distractions do? They slow you down. They hinder you. Well, how can you say that? I'm right now we are on this juice fast, right? The reason we're on this juice fast because I'm being hindered. I can't speak for her. Right? Because I got too much weight. Right? So what does weight do? If you want to run from here to the car before you get halfway, you gotta stop, take a break. Right? Well, why do you have to take a break? Because you got too much weight. See, y'all shouldn't feel bad talking about me. Talk about what I'm trying to do. I'm fighting too. Shoo! Walk by people having steaks and all this stuff. Oh, eat some lettuce and tomato. Oh, have mercy. Single happy meal. I said, no, you going? No, I'm going there for it. I can't eat it. Yeah, so I'm doing this juice thing, and I'm like, man, even the birds outside eat more than I eat. But what I'm saying is this, weight are distractions. What weights do they slow you down? I used to run, you know, you ever watch those when they're running in the Olympics? When they get ready to run, you see they got on an overcoat, pair of pants, right, a hat, all this stuff, right, to run, right? No, they have on one, as little as possible, and to be to be seen, not obscene. As much as possible, so they are not obscene. All right. Why do they have on so little? Because they're trying to lay aside the what?
Weights.
Well, why do you lay aside weights? Because they hinder you. They slow you down. They cause you not to get where you want to go. And in trying to get where you're going, you got to run 100 yards, you got to stop at 50 yards because you got too much weight. So Paul said that you got all these witnesses and examples for what to do. Not to be overcome with your weights or distractions. Distractions, saints of God, are weights. They weigh you down. Amen. They hinder you. Yes, I'm still running for Jesus, but you used to run 50 miles per hour, now you're running 5. Amen.
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 Y'all, sometimes y'all hard to read. All right, let's get off the weight. I'm not talking about weight. I'm talking about weight distractions.
Yeah.
Amen? Those weights hinder you. Amen. Every time God is about to bless you to come into a new era, or come to a new spiritual plateau, you're held down by distractions. Amen. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Amen. They came from all over the world to hear Solomon's wisdom. Yet Solomon fell God because of distractions. You can read about it, I believe it's in 1 Kings chapter 11. It says his wives distracted him to the point that they turned his heart. What's turning us away from God tonight? What distractions are turning us from God? Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so. Weights and sin, they make it hard to hold you back. Right? So he said, what does so hard beset us?
Easily.
As long as you got distractions, things can easily beset. What do you mean beset? You're easily held back. You can't grow in God. You can't prosper in God because of weights and sins. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto
Jesus,
the author and finisher of our faith, who for the
joy
that was what?
Set
before him. What did he do?
He
That's what we must do tonight. Whatever's going on, endure. Amen. Whatever the test is, endure it. However hard or strong is coming at you, we must endure, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3 reads, for consider him that endures such. Now stop. Whatever you're going through, you need to consider who? Jesus. Amen. Whatever the test is. Whatever the trial. Well, I'm not Jesus. Well, you got his spirit in you. So everybody say, I'm not Jesus. Yeah, but you got his spirit in you, and his spirit makes us one. Amen. Well, how does it make us one? When a husband and a wife get married, they're two separate people. But the Bible says, behold, they are
one.
Amen. One in what? One in accord, one in direction, one in thought, one in finance, one in house, one in everything. When you get married, let's keep going. That ain't, somebody said, rewind that. You gotta extract that. That wasn't in the text. But it's still true. Amen. We are one in God. Paul said, I've espoused you to one husband. Amen. In Christ, we are one. There's a unison that cannot be broken. The book of Ecclesiastes said a threefold cord is not easily broken. Well, what makes a threefold cord? The two individuals and God. That cannot be broken. Amen. But it says, consider him that endured such contradictions, sinners against himself. Well, why do you want to consider God as our perfect example? Lest you be what?
Weary
and faint in your mind. We have to consider all that God is permitting to happen, all that God allows to happen, lest we be weary and faint in our mind. Go to verse 4. I'm going to read this real fast. So you have not yet resisted unto blood striving against him. That means you didn't have to die for your salvation. God did that for us. So let's consider him. Yeah. Amen. Every time you think that it's so bad and deplorable you can't make it, you didn't have to die. But while we were yet sinners, he died for us.
Hallelujah.
And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as not to. Isn't that great to know that he's our Father and he calls us a child? Amen. Despise not thou the. You mean God got to correct us sometimes? Yes, we're human. We make mistakes. So thank God for the rod of correction. Amen. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint. What are you quitting for? What are you giving up for? God's only trying to rebuke you to get you on the right path. God does not rebuke right, he rebukes. God does not correct right, God corrects. You do not chastise your child when they are good if you are a good parent. You chastise your child when they are. So, as we are our heavenly parents, say, how much more God? When we're wrong, God corrects us. Now, don't think you're so big or so bad, including myself, that we don't need correction.
Right.
I've got an old life, and I'll probably get it till Jesus comes. Because we are human. And being human, we make mistakes. Amen. That's why people say, I can't go to that church because this is wrong, that's wrong. Well, that's why they're in church.
Right.
I believe I heard Jesus say, they that are whole don't need the physicians. Amen. So the reason we're in church is because we need help.
Yeah.
So as long as you're in church, you're playing to the place where you need the physician. So you won't find nobody perfect in here.
Amen.
You can go to every church you want, you're going to find somebody wrong.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's wrong but you. Right? That's, I'm talking about me. So y'all can't get mad if I talk about me, can you? Amen. Jesus said, they that are whole don't need the physician. Who was he dealing with? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the ruling religious party that was self-righteous. The reason people jump from church and all over the world is because they're too self-righteous. Lord, dear Lord, I come with holy nothing. And I have
Lord,
I'm talking about me now. Lord, have mercy. I got to be saved. Hey, I'm not going to be preaching to everybody else to get them saved and I want a loss. All I have is all one. Lord, now send the fire. Consume the stuff that's not right in my life and help me to get right. And don't let me be so wishy back and so weak back and so jealous back and have no constitution that when I'm corrected, I can't take it. No chasing other than the presence of joy. Amen. So he says, nor faint when thou rebuke him, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he. Aren't you so glad that he loves us? Then thank God for the chastening. Because he loves you, he will correct you. Amen. And scourges every son whom he received. If ye endure chastening, God deals a choice. Amen. But you know what? When I look back now, and most of us should be able to say the same thing. We didn't understand it because we were, as a child, we thought as a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. So now I understand. Amen. So when you're in the middle of your chastisement, it might not feel good. It's not pleasant. But be sure that this is working in you the peaceable fruits of righteousness. That means you learn to live godly. Amen. It said, for what son is he whom the father
chasteneth not?
When your kids are wrong, do you just let them get by with it? Hello? And if you don't have children, if you're taking care of somebody else's child, do you let them get by with it, or do you correct them in a godly way? There's a whole lot of different corrections. I'm talking about being godly. Do we just let somebody's wrong, just let them go? Oh, no, I don't spank my child. I don't do this. I don't do that. Just let them go. You know what you're doing? You're creating a monster. You're creating a monster. And eventually that monster is going to attack you. Amen? Chase. So God loves us. So because God loves us, he corrects us. He disciplines us. He's training us how to live godly. Distractions, we throw the blame on everybody else and not us. God loves us. Verse 6, he said, if ye be without chastisement, whereof are ye all partakers, then are ye, it means you're illegitimate children. That word means, it doesn't mean what they use today. Amen. Thank God the Bible was first. It means you're illegitimate, that you have no training, and that you are just a maverick. You're running wild and out of control. Verse 9, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them
reverence.
When our parents, if you were when we grew up, see, this much bigger than my mother was like 5-something. I was this big. And then she whipped me one time when I was like, last time she whipped me, I was like 10 years old. I was way bigger than she was. She said, well, I can't whip you no more. She said, I hurt you more than I hurt me. Right? But I still didn't disrespect her. She said, they only bad. We had bad women, so I won't go through that. But it says, we gave them what? Reverence. Shall we not much rather be in? And what?
Live.
Verse 10. For they verily for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure. But he for our whatever you're experiencing, God could have turned it around. God could have changed it. The reason that God has not yet changed it is because it's where you're from. Amen. So the psalmist said, it's good that I have been afflicted. Well, why was it good? Because I learned something about God. In our trials, in our tests, we're supposed to learn about God. We're not supposed to be distracted and self-centered, man. But he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11. Now, no chasing for the present seems to be. Just remember when you were a child and you were getting chased and whipped. You say, oh, keep going. Right? When you get that whipping, you say, oh, I like it, keep going. Please, mama, please, sweetheart, right? Because it was not joyous. Amen. You wanted that thing to be over and heard. He says, but no chasing seems to be joyous, but grievous. But what? After it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. It's all about being saved. In closing, let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, distractions. What distraction is the adversary using on us tonight to get us to doubt God? What distraction is the adversary using on us? Amen. Go to verse 13. Go to verse 16 of Luke 12. What distraction is the adversary using on us to make us unfruitful Christ. It said, they choke distractions, choke the words of God, and they bring no fruit to perfection. Perfection means spiritual maturity. As long as we allow our distraction to hinder us spiritually, we're still babes in Christ. Amen. We have not learned to be subject to the Father of spirits to live. And because we refuse to be subject to the Father of spirits to live, we just stay a babe. Amen. So how many times can that baby be whipped for the same thing over and over again? They are distracted. And they cannot learn. Okay? Amen. Verse 16 read. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth
plentifully.
This means he was what? As the world would say, he's what? Blessed. Amen. That, oh. Speed up. He said, and he thought within
himself,
saying, what?
Shall I do?
This is where the problems come in. Not what will God help me do, but what shall
I do?
Alright, let's see how many times he says,
I.
Because
I have no room.
And can y'all read this with me? I just want y'all to do the I part. I'll do the rest, y'all say I. Can y'all say that? That's easy, okay? How many can say I? Okay. What shall
I?
Because
I
have no room to restore
my.
Amen. And he said, this will
I.
Self-centered, distracted, because of the ground that brought forth plentifully. It's all about I right now. That's a distraction. Amen. It's a hindrance. He said,
I
will pull down my bars and build greater, and then will restore all
mine
and
mine.
Lord have mercy. Already. When you're at the first two verses, self-centered, distraction. Why? Because he had much fruit. Amen. And
I
will say to
my.
This, you know, it's kind of weird being a little facetious, right? But this is what happens in a lot of our lives. We can't do for God because we can't get our eye and mind. I, my, me. Someday, Matt, you can preach that one day, right? I, my, me. All right? I, my, me. So you can't see God because you can't get past you. So God has much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be
merry.
So right now we know that he's being distracted. Amen? He's been distracted because he has been what the world called blessed. But remember this scripture, if you don't remember another scripture about blessings. The blessings of the Lord make it rich. But there's a key element to that richness. It has no
sorrow.
How can you be blessed and be sorrowful? How is God blessing you and you got nothing but woes, woes, and woes? So the blessing of the Lord make it
rich.
God opens up that door. But the flip side is it maketh no sorrow. Amen? God said unto him, thou fool, this life, thy soul shall be required of. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up distracted. All about me in the center. Everything in this world revolves around me. I would do that in church, but what about me? I would do this in my family, but what about me? I would do this on the job, but what about me? Take the focus off of you. Amen. That self-centeredness will cause you to go down. It will hinder you. He said, so is he that lives or treasures for himself, but the flip side, he is not
rich toward God.
in the book of Revelation, talking to the Laodicean church. He said, they are increased with good. They say, I'm increased with good and have need of
nothing.
But know not that they are poor, they are miserable, they are wretched, because they are not rich in faith towards God. Listen, a man's life does not consist in the abundance that we have. The only thing that counts is his will with our soul. Let's keep going. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. He said, don't be distracted. Amen. Tonight, we all want something, and we like to be in a lot. I'm raising my hand first. How many like to be in a lot different position than you presently in? That's just a given. Amen. Guess what? I can't worry about that. I gotta leave it in God's hand. Because God knows every woe. He knows everything I'm experiencing. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for your body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens of the field. Go to the next verse. Go keep going. Which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature? How many have been distracted with whatever you experience? Can do anything to increase your stature? You're focusing on the food. You're focusing on this. You're focusing on everything, but you're not rich towards God. All of this is dealing with being self-centered and selfish. And all about me and what I can have, but they're not rich towards God. Distractions will rob your mind and your focus away from God. Amen? Next verse reads, if ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought
for the rest?
You can't do the least. Why have you been distracted for the rest? Consider the lilies of the field. Next verse, we all know that one. Keep going. Keep going. Oh, go back. For all these things, go back to that one. For all these things, do the you've been distracted for all these things that are in the world. Instead of being rich towards God. He said, all these things in the nation of the world seek after. And your
father.
Hold on, stop. Whatever you're experiencing tonight, you think God knows? The distraction that gets many of us to quit and not be strong in God and not fruitful and productive is the distraction. Because the distractions act like God does not know. When we're distracted, everybody is praying for you and we're mourning and we're praying and we're crying, but God knows. He's using, you know, whatever you're going through to make is for your profit. Now, God never does anything to hurt or hinder us. It's to profit us. Amen? And your Father knows what you have need of these things. But seek ye
the kingdom of God.
And everything else will be added. Tonight, whatever you're experiencing, whatever the trial, whatever the test, as we stand, seek ye first the kingdom of God. When you get to heaven, everything on this earth will be forgotten. The Bible said, behold, all things will be new. Revelation said, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more sorrow. Amen. All the stuff that we've gone through, you won't even remember it when you get to heaven. But God forbid, if we allow the trials, the tests, the distractions to hinder our spiritual walk. If we allow those distractions, as the ministers come forward, if we allow those distractions to hinder our spiritual walk, amen. We read earlier, we should consider Jesus, which endures contradiction of sinners against themselves, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. The devil deserves pressure because he wants us to quit. And the way that he exerts pressure, he gets you more and more distracted. So you never see God in the middle of your trial or circumstances. You only see yourself. Brothers and sisters tonight, refuse to be distracted. Yes, it's tough. Yes, it's hard. But the Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But thank God that God delivered them out of them. Some know them all. Keep God. Stay with God. Refuse to be distracted. And God will work it out in the end. Hallelujah. Struggling in our minds. And refuse to allow the devil to make you an example. Okay? Don't let the devil make you an example, because it's something about hearing God's word and not responding to it. Now, there's some mental battles going on, and you know who you are. Amen. It's not important for us to know. You know who you are. You have to know about it. Amen. I'm just going to read this scripture. This came to me as we were praying, so I could keep it, but it's more important for me to share. I'm going to read this real fast, and then it's going to be it. Isaiah 55, verse 6, read, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Now, those that are fighting their minds, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his. If you're not right before God, you got to get rid of that thought. You got to forsake that. The righteous man is thought. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now God says, you're battling, you're fighting. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What it means, you never see rain and snow fall and then do like a boomerang and go back up. Amen. So whenever the rain and the snow fall, it's for a design, it's for a specific purpose from God. What's their purpose? To water the earth. Amen. So anybody else see snow? If you ever see snow and rain come down and then do a U-turn and don't hit the ground, this is what God said about my word. He said, as you don't see that happen, so is my word. When it goes forth, it does not reverse itself. Amen. And the next verse is saying, why it doesn't reverse itself? It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. When we hear God's word, we need to respond.
Amen.
Amen. Not for anything else, because whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, God knows that somebody's having a battle right now. Amen. It's time to overcome.
Amen.
The choice is yours. But be assured, as the rain never comes down without hitting the earth and reverse itself, so is God's word. God's word is not going to get and then reverse itself, but it's going to accomplish the things whereto he sent it, and it's going to prosper in that. Amen. Being saved is too important to play the church game. Being saved is too important to play the church game. Going through the motion, saying the right thing, acting a certain way. No.
God looks beyond that because we look at the outward appearance. But when God judges every last one of us, he looks at our what?
Heart.
They that fell on good ground are those that out of an honest and good heart bring forth fruit to perfection. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Whoa.